Annyeonghaseyo! Welcome to Afternoona Delight, where Leah, Megan, and Amy, romance novelists and your K-romance guides. So grab some dekboki and listen to your new favorite unnies.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there.
So, I missed you guys. It feels like it's been a little bit.
Since we've all been together. Because you guys recorded without me.
Yes. Well, I mean, not without you meanly.
No. But I'm saying like you kicked me off the pod 2 weeks ago to do the Jay Cronover interview. And then we were ready to record last week. But
yeah,
Megan got hit hard.
Yeah. Megan was there and then she was.
And then she was not.
So look, this is what happened. I got to tell you guys what happened because I hadn't fully explained what happened that night. So,
and you want to for everybody?
Well, don't worry, it won't be. So last week, before recording, it was like Monday. We record on Wednesdays. My daughter had come down with a stomach bug, and it was bad. Let me just say, it was like a very bad stomach bug. It was like the stomach flu, and I knew I was going to get it. Like, there's just no resisting. If you're the one, like, I was the one who was, like, up with her, cleaning and helping her. Like, there's just no, I don't care how many times you wash your hands, you're going to get it, you know? And so on Wednesday, we had a Patreon live that we were recording before we were going to record our episode. So I was feeling bad all day. And I was like, is it in my head? I don't know. But then as evening wore on, I was like, I'm not feeling good. But, you know, I was like, I'm going to sign on to Patreon Live. I hate missing it. I really enjoy it. And I want to see everyone. And I'm like, it'll take my mind off of it because maybe I'm OK. You know what I mean? Maybe it's OK. Mm-hmm. So I sign on to Patreon Live. And like, I can feel like my leg shaking and that scene in Bridesmaids when they're like,
yes, in the dress shop
where Annie's like, I'm not sick. I'm not sick.
She's sweating.
That was me. That was literally me on Patreon Live. And I was like, this is bad. Like, I'm going to die. So I made it maybe 10 minutes. Maybe.
No, you did. I don't even think that you made it much after Leah, like Leah got on and then all of a sudden you were gone.
We weren't even doing
intros yet.
I muted myself. I turned off the camera and then guys, I was fucking gone. Like, just so you know, I was violently sick and I am in the bathroom and I just yelled at my husband. I was like, sign out of the Zoom. Like, I'm not coming back.
It was like when I was, a background character in Top Chef's Maui Wowie.
Yes.
And one minute I was there in the reality TV. The next minute I was passed out drunk behind the Quick Fire Challenge station.
Yeah. That was me. It was. And so we were supposed to record this podcast, which we're talking about A Shop for Killers today. But obviously that didn't happen. But this is where I feel like this shit only happens to me. So again, I was violently ill, okay, for like 2 days. And I woke up kind of out of my like stomach flu fever dream because I definitely had a fever. Like, it was like a full thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And like, I had this like twinge in my back, like my upper back, like my shoulder. And I remember as I was being violently ill and hugging something, I remember like the force. Like, I remember feeling like, holy shit, my whole upper body, like, I fucked something up.
You pulled a muscle.
Well, so I was like, this will go away. Like, I'm a big person. Like, if my check engine light comes on, I'm convinced that if I just wait long enough, the car will fix itself. So I was like,
my light goes on and I immediately call a dealership.
Yeah, that's the difference between you and me, Amy. So I am like, my body will fix itself. Like, I'm the type of person, I could, like, fracture my vertebrae and I'm paralyzed and I'll be like, it's fine. Like, just give it a little bit and I'll walk again. Like, it'll be fine. So, like, I'm totally, like, not, I'm delusional, okay, when it comes to, like, most things. So it kind of, like, hurt over the weekend. And then I would say about Monday, I'm like in crippling pain. Like, but I'm convinced I can fix myself. Like, I'm like, this will be fine. This will be fine. So I like, I'm like rolling it out with a ball and making Neil like use the Theragun on me. And I won't admit defeat. Like, I was like, I will not admit that this is something serious, even though my hand started going numb.
What?
It's like, I know. So it got to the point where like I couldn't sleep because I couldn't like sleep on my side. And I have this aversion to Icy Hot, which is also delusional because of a bad experience in high school. So I was like, I refuse to put on that, like anything that's like Icy Hot related. So like Bengay or anything.
Do you have to be like held down?
Yes. Like, I'm an idiot. And so Neil is like, I'm telling you, you like, let me put, he has like this, like, it's called like Biofreeze, but essentially
yeah,
that's
the
what
same
it
thing.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it. Like in it. And he even has like an overnight gel and he's used it before on his like calf after he like runs or bikes. And then he wraps it in Saran wrap. And because he's like, this is what you do. Like, this is what they do with it, whatever. But the whole point is I have made fun of him repeatedly for it. I'm like, this stinks. It's stinking up the bed. Now I'm going to have to wash the sheets. Your Saran wrap is crinkling because I'm like a bitch. And so I like always bitch at him about his like Saran wrapped leg, even though the poor guy is just like fixing his sore muscle.
You slept in Saran wrap pajamas, didn't you?
So.
Is there a picture of this?
Finally, I look at
Neil. I really want to see a picture.
Look at Neil. I mean, I am in so much pain, guys, and I can't sleep. I mean, it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I look at him, and I go, get the Biofreeze and the Saran wrap. I can't take it anymore.
Were you, like, so bare-boobed in the Saran wrap?
Yeah.
You have to be, right?
So I'm in the bathroom. I haven't showered for 2 days because I can't really like lift my arm to like wash myself. So I'm like dirty. My hair is everywhere. I got on like ratty pajama pants and I'm just got and like tits out, just like standing in the bathroom while Neil is wrapping me in Saran wrap, like some sort of like kinky, like harness.
Deli meat.
Yeah, like deli meat. And he has to, like, put it between my boobs. And all we hear is the crinkling of Saran wrap while I'm standing there with my boobs out. Neil is crying laughing. Like, he is tears streaming down his face because he's like, you are demoralized. Like, I said, I have never felt so low. Like, it was like my dignity was gone. You don't know what it's like to hit a low until you're standing topless in a bathroom with
your husband wrapping you in Saran wrap.
And the whole bathroom smells like Bengay. It's like menthol.
I hope you're enjoying your 40s, Megan.
Oh my God.
This is what it's like from here on out.
Right. He's crying and we hear it's like 11 o'clock at night. We hear my daughter like yell for room. She's like, be quiet. I'm trying to sleep. And Neil and I are just like, I mean, and I can't laugh because it hurts. But I also like, I just remember looking at myself in the mirror thinking like, I've never been this low. I've hit rock bottom. Allowing him to Saran wrap me, and he thought it was the greatest.
We've been there
thing ever.
For when you flash the pool.
Yeah,
we were there for your.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I did do that.
We were there for the ferry ride that was a cruise.
Right,
but none
for
of
when
those...
I almost shit myself on Mount Washington.
That was a good one.
Yourself about Washington, but this is the new low. Megan has officially hit her new low.
Okay, but did it help?
It really did help. And just, you know, I'm seeing, I also caved and I'm seeing someone, I see them tomorrow.
Okay, like,
I'm
good, because still... it sounds like you slipped a disc. Like, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I'm still in debilitating
with
pain.
With the numbness, like it sounds like you popped something out of line.
I'm a mess. Like, I'm wearing a huge heat patch right now. That's the only reason I'm like here sitting. It still hurts like this whole thing, but... And the worst part is, I was actually telling Amy before you signed on tonight, Leah, that an old boyfriend, an ex-ex-ex-boyfriend of mine from high school, reached out to me and was like, I'd love to talk. I want to talk about writing. Like, I've been considering writing. Would you meet with me? And I'm like, sure, because I love talking about writing. And I'm also like super curious what he wants to talk about. But I smell like a nursing home.
So you're seeing him in person.
Yes.
Wait, you already have done this?
She did it
this afternoon. So I get to the coffee shop and I literally, the first thing I say was, look, I smell like Ben Gay. Like, you're gonna smell it. And that's the last thing I wanted to do. It's
wait,
not
can
like
I ask something? Can I ask something? You're seeing an old boyfriend. Not that you have to like get dressed up for him or whatever, but
right.
Hard pants or soft pants?
Oh, I wore jeans, which is a big deal. Yeah, big deal. But it was funny because I'm sitting there like talking to him and every once in a while, like I shift and like, I smell it. Like, and I look at him and I go, I am really sorry. Cause like, I really do smell.
Okay, but Ben Gay doesn't smell like a sewer. Like,
well, no, but it has a very distinct smell.
Yeah, like, but you like, know. It's fine. It's
but I was
fine.
Like, I'm really sorry. And he just looked at me and goes, yeah, like I keep getting whiffs of it. I was like, oh God.
But then you kept drawing attention to it by talking about it.
Well, because it smelled. So anyway, just so you know, I'm going to see someone tomorrow. I have admitted defeat. My engine is not going to fix itself. I think I have like a pinched nerve somewhere part of me is like, I don't want to have to tell this guy. Like, yeah, like he's like, well, how'd you hurt it? And I'm going to be like,
vomiting.
Throwing up and like vomiting.
Did
violently.
You tell that to your ex-ex-ex boyfriend too?
I did not. I was just like, oh,
well,
I did
if anybody who's listening, what's his name?
A tennis injury.
A tennis pickleball.
I was in my pool dancing class.
Oh God. So anyway, that's it. That's what's been going on with me. So
well, thank you for that banter. I do need to preference that. So I'm in a different spot recording today. And
I can tell by the halo of light above your head.
Yeah you look very backlit.
And I have to adjust a little bit because my foot is asleep and I thought I would just power through, but now I'm afraid that I'm going to cause actual like damage.
No.
So I'm going to move just a little bit and hope I don't unplug myself.
Oh my gosh.
If not, okay, there. I should.
You do look like you're in witness protection though.
You do.
Yeah, I'm on the floor, but now I've moved my leg and I'll have blood flow.
No, please take care of yourself because this is awful.
That's the theme for 2024.
Yeah, this is bad. And I called my mom just to like bitch, and then my mom's like, "Well, my hip hurts," and then we're just like bitching about we're both getting old.
Well, do you know what else hurts?
Dying,
getting shot like getting shot a bunch of times. That's my segue.
By a drone.
Yeah, that really hurts. Drone
and
shooting.
Explosions.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that hurt in this. Getting your hand chopped off.
Oh,
can we? That's my name tonight is No Hatchets. Like,
oh, mine is. Well, we'll get there. Well, anyway, thank you for listening, everyone. Wish me by the time you're listening to this, I will hopefully not be covered in saran wrap.
I'm excited for you to be entering your 42nd year with a pinched nerve.
Yeah, I know.
underlaying all of this was Megan's birthday.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I was like, I just wanted to like have hibachi for my birthday. And I did. But it definitely wasn't as joyous.
It didn't go down as smooth.
hard to leap and catch that shrimp in your mouth when you've got a numb arm.
I did, though. I did still catch. The guy had great aim. So I still was able to.
Did you get
zucchini.
Did you get a choo-choo or a volcano?
He did a volcano. It was good.
What does that even mean? Just really
quickly.
Oh,
a fire volcano?
I've never been to hibachi.
With the onions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love hibachi. I really do. Those guys work hard and they're so good at what they do. Like, so good. They're so good.
Do you know who else is good at what they do? Assassins. I'm trying to segue us into the...
Great segue.
The reason why.
So, yeah. A Shop for Killers is an 8-episode 2024 action noir drama that aired on Disney Plus, I guess, and Hulu in the US and is based on a Korean novel called The Killer's Shopping Mall by Kang Ji-young. A Shop for Killers stars Lee Dong-wook and Kim Hae-jun, along with a large cast. The premise is this: When a girl's parents are killed, she's raised by her mysterious uncle. When he turns up dead, a series of events kick off that reveal she didn't know much about her uncle at all. So, as always, we'll begin the podcast with a non-spoiler section. It's not a super big non-spoiler section because, look, it's only 8 episodes. And let me tell you, this drama hits you fast with a lot of stuff. It's very rapid. Basically, this is a very bingeable drama. It's not episodic really in any way.
No, I mean, the story just keeps going.
Yeah. So did you have any expectations of A Shop for Killers? And like, why did you decide to watch it?
So like many of the dramas I've been watching lately, it's because of you, Megan.
Mm-hmm. I'm a good influence.
And I want to start by saying that the one thing that cracks me up about this is that a listener had mentioned to Leah on social media that I was watching this drama. And Leah's immediate reaction was, I do not think this is true. Like, Amy would never.
I did. I gave false information.
And the truth is that I am not good with violence. Like, I cover my eyes as soon as guns or knives or fists enter the scene. But I do love action. So you can see my predicament. And I have watched all the John Wick movies with my son, who always tells me when it is safe to take the throw off my head again. And so Megan started this drama and said, Amy, it is total John Wick, except most of the violence is off camera. So you can totally do this. And she was right until episode 7 and 8. But I forgive her.
I am sorry, because when I told you this, I hadn't gotten the 7 and 8.
No,
yet.
I mean, they weren't even out yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we watched it live.
Yeah.
Or for the most, yeah, no, I think I started watching this. Yeah, yeah.
And then I caught up. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I love Lee Dong-wook. I mean, I love him. I love him. I love the roles he takes. I love how he's just such a chameleon actor. And I love action. And I'm like, I actually had no idea what this was about. Like, I feel like the trailer didn't make sense to me, or I didn't like see a trailer, and I was just like, whatever, I'll watch it. Lee Dong-wook and action, and I like it. And then I started watching it, and again, it felt very John Wick. And by that, I mean, like, things are like, it's clean in regards to the action. Like, the action feels very choreographed to me. I guess that's the way I would put it. And part of it is because I had recently watched The Worst of Evil. And that drama, the action was so messy. And I'm not saying that as a criticism, because I think that was like the point. Like, also, they were just like gang members. They weren't like trained killers. But it was like very bloody and messy. Just messy. And so A Shop for Killers felt really cool in contrast to that. Watching it is, yeah, I love a good choreographed fight scene. Like, it's always going to get me, just because I think that's like crazy talent and stuff. So that's why I started watching it, and I was not disappointed.
Just really quick, that is what makes John Wick a really good comp, is very similar like type of fight choreography, where it's just really, really well done, the way that it takes up the screen. Like, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's really fantastic choreography.
And so I watched this drama because Amy and Megan were watching this drama. And here's what I'm going to say is, What makes me surprised even hearing you both describe it is, like, Amy seemed genuinely like stunned when I was like, look, I mean, it's fine. I get why people would like it. I'm not criticizing it. It's just not really for me. And Amy was like, but I'm having a hard time understanding. How can we not like this? I've never seen John Wick and never want to. And you're both sitting here being like, well, it's like John Wick-esque. And I am on record on this podcast being like, I respect Keanu. I respect the John Wick franchise. Mm-hmm. And I will live my entire life happy if I never see it, because I don't care.
For some reason, I thought you watched it. And so that's on me.
I didn't think you watched it, but I don't know, from other stuff that you like, I thought you like action.
Like, choreograph. I feel like, well, you, neither of you know me. If you're, no. Like, I feel like Leah likes action. Like, we
no,
have,
I mean, like you've watched like, maybe not action, but like, you've watched other stuff that's like, I don't know, violent stuff. Like, you liked
sure.
You liked Bad and Crazy, didn't you?
She didn't really watch Bad and Crazy.
No, I watched Bad and Crazy, but I didn't really like it. I mean, no, I told you that wasn't for me, really. So look.
Okay,
I guess
I'm blocking this out then, because I loved Bad and Crazy so much that I thought we all loved Bad and Crazy so much.
Yes, I'm very, I feel like nobody knows me here. I feel like
I will internalize this now.
I feel like I'm the middle child in this podcast, as per usual. And no one pays attention to my likes or dislikes, which is slice of life dramas.
You totally are. You totally are the middle child. I'm so sorry.
You really are. And I feel bad.
And do I like violence? I wouldn't say I like violence. I just don't mind violence. I don't have a problem with violence in dramas or in any content. Like, I've watched Game of Thrones, but I wouldn't say I was like watching Game of Thrones for like the choreographed.
Well, no, I'm not saying you're watching it for the violence.
No. I'm not watching it for like the choreographed. Like, while I appreciate the work and artistry that goes into a choreographed fight scene, it leaves me cold in terms of delight or not. I like, it's just not for me. Like, right. I'm just kind of like, it's fine,
totally
whatever.
I totally get that. I get that.
And
I guess I thought that there was enough. I thought there was enough character backstory that would draw you in. And that's cool that it didn't. But I honestly, it's not that I was like, I think Amy
I didn't
and I
dislike
both...
it, though. So that's the thing. Okay. Is I didn't dislike True. It. I'm just like very neutral True. On it.
It's just not your thing. True. Yeah.
And I think Amy and I did pretty, like, we kind of liked it a good amount. And so you were like, you being meh doesn't mean thumbs down. You're like a middle thumb.
After the first episode, I texted Megan. I'm like, that was a baller first episode. I love her flipping over the couch and finding the gun and like, oh my God, amazing.
I watched the first episode and I was like, I'm fucked for the next 7 episodes. And here's why. But here's the thing. Again, let me just reiterate. That is not me saying that this is not a good drama or a good story. But if you are not an action girly or guy,
totally.
You're probably not going to
want to.
Or them-y. You're not going to want to. Thank you. You're not going to run to want to watch this. Lee Dong-wook, though, is like always just like chef's kiss.
Oh, we'll get there because correct.
But Leah, if I promise I will internalize now that this is
too.
Not for you.
That's fine. I'll continue to be the middle child who watches me sing and all the other dramas that no one else gives a shit about. And that's fine. I'll just be over here.
No, we are. No, we are.
Nobody recognizes my accent. They think I'm everyone else. The listeners are like, is Leah even here? We just know Megan's voice. We just think you're her.
Not true.
I'm just going to be fine. I'm just going to mute.
Oh my
God. No, we love you. We want you here. And we want you to watch dramas that you love too.
Okay. So if you ran a secret shopping mall in your basement, what would you sell?
Lip stuff. Like,
I love that.
Lip balm, lip gloss, lip oil. My daughter and I, and I'll even say her more than me, and I told her about this question and she was like delighted by it. We have a bit of a problem when it comes to buying lip products, like both tinted, non-tinted, lip masks to sleep in. We're pretty obsessed with both like Tarte and e.l.f., a little bit of NYX. And my recent obsession is About Face, which is Halsey's company. Mm-hmm. And
yes, I am a proud purveyor. I buy all of About Face. I love it.
Well, I bought one tinted lip balm and I am freaking in love with it. Like, even Sydney tried it on, my daughter, and she's like, I have to buy this color. This looks amazing on me. And so she ordered her own. And then what she didn't know when she was at her dad's last week, I just did a big haul. I went back to About Face and I'm like, I would like this and this and this and this. And I'm so excited and my shipment should be coming any day. But yeah, so many lip products and I just keep buying more. So yeah, I could have a store.
So I think mine would be like a food pantry. And I don't mean that like that I'm like so charitable. I just mean
a charcuterie.
My pantry is fucking ludicrous. Like the amount of cans and shit and seasonings and sauces that I have in there, they're going to go bad if I don't start using them. Like I do use them, but like,
oh, I do. I find expired stuff all the time in mine.
Lord, I just have, I mean, the amount of shit I have in there, you can't walk in there. I mean, it's like a whole walk-in pantry. You can't walk in there. There's just shit all over the floor. And it's all food. And it's like boxes and can't. It's ludicrous. And probably cat treats. So if I was going to have a shopping mall in the basement, come on down. If you need like hoisin sauce, I got it.
Hoisin sauce.
If you need hemp hearts, I probably got them. Just bring your own mason jar and fill it up.
I just don't like brick and... So here's another thing. I don't know if you know this about me, but when this thing, the thing that put me off with this store, this show too, is I just don't really like shops.
Okay. I mean,
like,
fair.
It made me think of like a mall, and I just like, it made me feel kind of gross. It's like, I don't know. So I'm just going to say, like, I don't know if I would want to have like stuff in my shopping mall in my basement, because the idea of a shopping mall in my basement is like a nightmare. Right. So I guess I would just like to have like a little walk-in root cellar where I give out unsolicited advice and maybe story prompts, because those are the two things I am good at.
No, your life coaching could be in your basement.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. I'm good at advice, and I'm good at story prompts, and I don't have a lot of knowledge of products in general to offer anyone, I don't think.
See, you'd pick an ingredient off the shelf. I'd be like, I know what you can put that in. Like, I would be able to tell people, like in my shopping mall of random pantry items, I'd be like, I got a recipe for that. It's like, you need like 10 other ingredients, but you can use that. Well, I think that's very well-rounded.
Yeah.
All of us. I like the non-tangible.
Are you trying to compliment me because I'm the sad, put-upon, forgotten middle child?
We know that you're a fragile flower tonight, so we're just going to keep...
Right.
We're going to keep boosting you, honey.
Yeah, this isn't going to work for me. I'm like my daughter. She doesn't like random compliments either, and she's a middle child.
Aw.
All right, let's talk about some violence because... Yeah.
Yeah, well, hold on. We got to talk about Yi Dong-wook first.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Well, I mean, you know, Yi Dong-wook stars as Jong Jin-man, a former military man turned mercenary turned shopping mall owner for killers. So what did we think of his portrayal of Jong Jin-man? What's your all-time favorite Yi Dong-wook role? Yes, I'm asking that.
I feel like I want to just point out really quick for people who maybe haven't watched the drama that, like, it isn't, he doesn't have a mall. Like, he has, like, shelves. He has weapons.
Shelves
like,
of it. Weapons.
Yeah, it's weapons. It's not by any chance, like...
You're not parking next to the old Sears and going in.
No. He doesn't own a Value City.
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, I love him, like, everything I've seen him in. And I mean, which has been, like, Goblin, Tale of the Nine-Tailed, and Bad and Crazy, because I didn't do... Strangers from Hell, and I haven't done what's the rom-com?
Touch Your Heart.
Yeah, I didn't do Touch Your Heart. Yeah, so I skipped the Cannibal Dentist version, and I will always be skipping that version of him. But world weary, long haired, scarred mercenary with a heart of gold, and always another trick up his sleeve. Like, I think this might be my favorite Yi Dong-wook.
Are you for serious? This
I am for serious. Yeah.
Okay.
I loved him. Like, I didn't know what to expect. When I realized, like, what kind of character we were getting, I was like, oh, okay, he's going to be kind of, you know, this, like, yeah, like, road weary, like, very stiff, kind of, you know, stiff upper lip type of guy. But Yi Dong-wook always brings something to roles that just makes him stand out. Like, I think there could have been another actor in this role who just would have played it a lot more flat. And Yi Dong-wook just has a way of in like even putting charm into like this type of the character. And I couldn't get enough of him in this role. Like, I truly loved it. And this was hard for me because I would say like this is, I mean, I loved Bad and Crazy, his role in Bad and Crazy, but I didn't like his character isn't who you love in that.
Because like it's Kay who kind of steals the show in Bad and Crazy.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So I think I would say that Yi Dong-wook as Yi Yun from Tale of the Nine-Tailed, still my favorite role of his. I don't think much is going to top him. But believe it or not, this is like a close second. That's how much I loved him in this role.
I feel shaken by this.
Yeah,
but you know what? That's fine. So, okay. Look, I'm going to say for me, my top favorite roles are like, it's a yin and yang. So I mean, the fact that this unseated his role, his performance of Reaper and Goblin for Amy shakes me. So look, I'm always going to love Goblin. I'm not even like a Goblin hard stand, but his role in that was amazing. But the other one I'm going to go with, because tonight's my middle child night, is Strangers from Hell.
I knew you were going to say that.
He was
incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah, he was.
And the fact he could be like such an uptight dentist and then a creepy like neighbor with maybe a stalker fetish, then going into like unabashed, just not even a serial killer just for business time, but just for like with the relish of being a serial killing dentist. Amazing.
Pure so, pleasure. Yeah.
Just doing it for the love, doing it for the love of the work.
The love and for the love and for the meat.
Yeah. And the meat. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is not by any means like take away my love of Reaper. I always love Reaper. This was just a really fun, I just really loved seeing him like this. And it just, it stuck with me.
He just, he's so pretty. And yet,
he really is.
And I'm not the type of person, I don't really want to give cookies for like an attractive man playing like an unattractive person. I don't want to do that. But it feels like sometimes Edong Wook goes out of his way, like not to play. Like, this is like, or not to play like pretty people. I don't know. There's
like
just
when
something...
he's devouring purple colored human meat.
Yeah. There's just, he's just willing to be like, fuck it. I'm just going to choose a role that's like, you know, whatever. And I just loved him in it. Okay. So we often get asked to rate violence levels of drama for people who are sensitive to violence. And like, look, I'm always willing to test drive dramas for you on violence levels. So if you ever need a tester, hit me up. I'm Megan, in case, you know, we should... just in case.
And if I'm talking and I'm Leah, just I'm Megan too, probably.
So what did you think about the violence in this drama?
I mean, I kind of already mentioned it. And Megan was accurate when she first like got me to sign on for this drama. And it is because in the first half, in the top half of this drama, we are seeing the story unfold from Jian's perspective, starting from when she's like a little kid, like 10 years old. And so she was sheltered, like her uncle sheltered her from the violent things that happened. And she sheltered herself, too. I mean, there's a really powerful scene in a morgue where she's able to hide from it herself. And so a lot of the early violence we hear but don't see. And then when we get to Jinman's perspective, things change because then we see it all. And there's, you know, there's a hatchet and there is a very murderous mercenary named Bale. And I would say it goes from being like PG-13 type violence in the beginning to full on R violence at the end.
Yeah. And look, I didn't know that. I didn't. And admittedly, I was, as soon as I watched 7 and 8, I thought, oh, shit, this just took a turn, like just very violent. But I would say if you're squeamish to violence, I wouldn't let that deter you, though, because for the most part, that's only at the end.
And you know when to like look away.
Yeah, you're very aware of when to look away. And I really liked the way it was, the implied violence and kind of getting things from Jian's perspective. And a lot of times, like, she's sheltered, but she hears what's going on. And like, she's a little kid, so like, she doesn't know what those sounds mean. But, you know, we're freaking adults and we know what those sounds mean. And I personally just love the creativity of that's how they were telling the story. But yeah, same as Amy. Even toward the violence, some of the violence towards the end, I was like, ugh. But oops.
Although, ooh, you know, there was when the axe came out at the end, I was like clapping. I was like, yep, we need this.
Yeah. And for the record, if you've seen like Death's Game or Gyeongsang Creature, I mean, I'm just naming ones that I've seen like very recently at the beginning of this year. They're way more violent than this.
I don't have much more to add.
Yeah, I mean, like a head gets chopped off, a hand gets chopped off, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah. I mean, when there's even a scene where like something happens to like three women and like, you know what happens, but
you
none
don't
of
see
it's
it.
Shown.
Yeah, you don't
the
see
aftermath
it.
Isn't shown. It's, yeah. You know.
And I feel like what you're saying for the people who do want to look away, I think it's not like you said, the choreography means that it's not chaotic violence in the sense that like,
yes,
there's just like a mess or jump scare type stuff. Like you kind of,
yeah, it doesn't sneak up on you.
Yeah. You know, when, if you want to look away, it's very easy to look away.
Yeah. Like the worst of evil, like I said, was just such messy violence. And it was just so bloody. I felt like I was like watching rivers of blood watching drama. Sorry. And that's why this just seemed really nice in comparison. Okay. Nice. And then what?
It nice. Seems nice in comparison.
I know.
Just some light drone assassin.
Some light drone shooting.
Some light assassin work. Okay. And then comps for a shop for killers.
Yeah, I feel like we already mentioned Bad and Crazy with Yi Dong Wook, but I also think that's a good comp for this as far as a lot of fighting action and really good choreographed fighting. But I will say the difference is the gore in Bad and Crazy is very minute, I would say. Like, it's the fighting is actually played more for comedy, but not slapstick. Just like kind of like because our leads are so like cocky and sure of themselves that whenever they're beating up baddies, like, you know who's going to win kind of thing. Whereas in a shop for killers, you're like, everyone may end up dead at the end here. You don't know. So, yeah. So I think if if you like the action and you don't want to have to look away so much, then Bad and Crazy would be a great one.
Yeah. I mean, I know I always recommend Lawless Lawyer, but for action, but I also thought that that had some really great choreographed fight scenes that just felt a little bit cleaner than, say, like Violent.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I mean, I think All of Us Are Dead too, even though it's incredibly gory I wouldn't say incredibly.
I don't think, yeah. But it's different when, I don't know. I feel like it's different when it's zombie gore.
Yeah. But there's like suspenseful action.
Yes.
That is done really, really well in All of Us Are Dead. That remind me of the action in A Shop for Killers. Because, yeah, it's like you feel like your heart is in your throat a little bit. You're not just like waiting for the fight to end in A Shop for Killers. Like, the fighting is the drama,
mm-hmm.
like, which we'll kind of get to how they tell this story. But that literally is the drama.
It is.
But All of Us Are Dead is still probably in my top five. And I feel like A Shop for Killers for me is overall forgettable. So I would say that, like, to me, like, the hero journey is less compelling for me in A Shop for Killers, probably.
And I think that that's fair.
It's more, and this isn't meant to be, like, I would say it hits, like, when you watch, like, you know, sometimes people will talk about, like, different types of commercial fiction and, like, try to denigrate it. I feel like you go into this with, like, your expectation of, like, I'm going into this for, like, a John Wick type action. You're going to leave very, like, you get what you were promised. And so I guess my quibble would be that, like, I don't feel like, to me, All of Us Are Dead feels like a John Wick story.
No.
So that's probably why I'm going, like, with that.
For sure.
Fair. Yeah, and I agree with you, because Shop for Killers isn't going to go down as, like, one of my top dramas, although I liked it a lot. Like, it's one of my favorites for sure, but it's not going to, like, knock off I Am Not a Robot. I mean, hello.
Nothing.
I'd say, my loosest comp, I'd say that I enjoyed this comp much more, is My Name. Just in the sense of kind of, like, gritty underworld kind of stuff. I think I was just more interested in the character, like... I know it's bad, but what's funny is, like, when we started Shop for Killers, I wrote and I'm like, is this going to be like the guy with the young girl sidekick? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, that's like my least favorite.
So, yeah, like, I didn't know
like
that.
So I think that's like my bias, whereas like, because I'm like, okay, My Name is not that. And My Name is like a revenge. There is a lot of action in it. But it's like grittier and like revenge. So yeah, I don't know. But I'd say it's a compish type of thing.
Yeah, but this is, but it isn't the sidekick thing, because they're not actually in it together.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I mean,
why I liked it more than if they were in it together all the time, I probably wouldn't have liked that.
If you like A Shop for Killers, one thing I would actually recommend is Ballerina, the movie. I can't say Mask Girl is a comp for A Shop for Killers, because Mask Girl was kind of like fucked up psychologically on a lot of levels.
So I might like Mask Girl then.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mind fuck, and it's like there's a lot of losers, like a lot of like.
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. I feel like, because when it comes to horror too, like, I don't like slasher horror, but I like psychological freakish. So like Exorcist is fine for me, but I probably wouldn't want to see like Human Centipede.
Oh, yeah. You might like Mask Girl. Mask Girl was so interesting. It's very interesting. Whereas Ballerina is like a straight up 2-hour revenge movie. With a lot of action. So,
right. Well, we're here for our favorite part of every episode, which is our K-pop rec of the week. And Megan, what do you have for us this week?
So, I am going to recommend Killing It by P1 Harmony. So, I really love P1 Harmony, and I feel like I don't think I've recommended them on this podcast before. I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a lot, okay? We have like close to 300 episodes or something. But I really like Killing It. It's a.
I think it's close to 200.
Two. Actually. It's two.
Oh, it is?
Okay. We were at like 194 today.
Oh, okay. Thank you for correcting me. But P1 Harmony lately has been coming out with like really fun songs. Mm. This kind of reminds me a little bit of Blitzer's Macarena, just that it's like fun. And I always like songs where they're just like confident. They're like, yeah, we're killing it, you know, and it has a lot of slang in it. And I like it. It's a lot of fun. I like the choreography. It's no fight choreography, but yeah.
Okay, well, here's my question I have for you is I had P1 Harmony tickets in my Ticketmaster queue 2 nights ago. And then I was like, do I want to go see them?
Yeah.
So I think right now I'm leaning towards probably yes, but I'm trying to get IU tickets tomorrow and I have no idea how much they're going to go for. So I think I'm going to wait and see what IU tickets do. And then if I don't like break the bank on that, then I might circle back for some P1 Harmony because I do think that they're fun.
They're a lot of fun. I would 100% go and see them in concert. I think they have really good charisma among the group members. Two of them speak very good English. Well, Kehoe is from Canada,
yeah,
which I always think helps them when they're like putting on a concert, obviously in a predominantly English speaking country. And I would 100% go and see them. I have heard that their concerts are a lot of fun as well. They have a really good, I want to say bibliography, and that's not right because that's books.
Discography?
Thank you. They have a really good discography. Thank you.
I was like songography.
Rockage. Anyway, Rockage. So check out Killing It by P1 Harmony.
If you enjoy our podcast, you have our patrons to thank, at least in part. Afternoon of Delight Patreon allows us to keep creating content for y'all to enjoy. Thank you so much to everyone who is supporting us there. And not to brag, but our Patreon community is pretty awesome. And you can join at a tier that feels good to you. Gain access to fun perks like K-drama posts, monthly Patreon-only bonus podcasts, and even a live K-drama support group on Zoom. Because we know firsthand what it's like to have no one to talk to about those crazy plot twists, amazing characters, and all those feelings. And look, no one should have to walk that walk alone. So learn more by visiting afternoonadelight.com. That's www.afternoonadelight.com. And hey, while you're on the website, you can check out Afternoon Delight podcast merch, find links to book recommendations, bop along to our K-pop recs, glow up your skin with K-merch recs, find all of our social media, and a link to our email so you can send us recommendations or feedback. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you pop over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review? It really helps with our discoverability. Gamsahamnida.
All right. Well, we are moving to the spoiler section. If you have not seen the groundbreaking seminal drama that is A Shot for Killers, then you may want to pull over and binge watch 8 episodes of Lee Dong-wook in one of his finest roles, according to Megan and
Amy. You're just being mean now.
I am not. I'm just recycling what we've said. I'm recapping the drama. And if you have seen
it. I sense condescension.
You know what? That's just my middle child accent. So if you haven't seen it, stop and watch it or get spoiled if you're not really that. If you're not a John Wick fan, keep going. And if you've seen it, welcome. We are now talking spoilers.
So here's a little bit more about the plot. Kim Hae-jun plays Jong Jian, who, after her uncle's sudden death, realizes that she is now the next owner of her weapons shopping mall, which, again, not a mall. It's just a big ass mall.
I think I would like it better if, like, you just went and it was, yeah, it was definitely just like cold.
It's just a warehouse. It's a warehouse. Yeah, it's
a warehouse with weapons. All right, but it's in a basement with a fancy elevator and a password.
And people have to order. They have to order online and they have to have a special code.
And there's bracelets involved.
Yeah. Okay. And so there are a lot of people from her uncle's life who either want to protect her and the mall, the warehouse of weapons, or they want to kill her to gain control of that massive stock of weapons. Add in a former enemy of her uncle who is out for revenge. And Jian's got a lot going on. So... A Shop for Killers has an interesting way of storytelling. the present action. So if you're looking at like the, you know, the timeline of like when the drama is taking place is really over only like 1 to 2 days. If you're, you know what I mean? But we get a whole lot of backstory and a whole lot of information through flashbacks, as well as repeated scenes told from different points of view. So we mentioned earlier that we got a lot of scenes where the violence was implied from Jian's perspective as a baby. So, or as a kid, I'm
a
sorry.
Baby.
I would love to see it was a baby.
Her the infant. Baby. We get like her infant flashbacks.
I don't know why I said baby. Anyway. So there's one pivotal scene where she is running from, she knows it's an enemy who wants to do her harm, and she's in a hospital, and she is running away, and she finds the morgue. She doesn't really know what it is, I don't think, but she sees these like big drawers, and she opens up one, and she realizes that the body in the case is her mother. So she crawls inside, curls up next to her dead mother.
Murdered
mother, and shuts the door. So she's in there, and she knows that an enemy has like is in the morgue. She can hear him. And she's in there, you know, with her mother's body, and all we hear basically are gunshots, some grunts, some crashing. So we know something happened. And then the thing opens, and her uncle, Jinman, takes her out. And he covers her eyes so she can't see like the aftermath of what he did. And later in the drama, then we get the same scene from his point of view. And then we know what led up to that point. We know how he found her. We know what he did. We know more about what it meant. So that's just, I'm just trying to give an example. If you mm-hmm. haven't watched the drama, that's kind of what we mean. And that's done several times. That's done several times. And even sometimes a scene is done even from Jian's point of view, but once we get more information about why she makes the choices she does, we get that scene repeated too with like more information. It's very interesting. So basically, yeah, let's chat about it. Did you like the style of storytelling?
Yeah, I feel like this is a K-drama trope that we've seen before, but not like this way. Like it brought me back to like our first drama, which is Crash Landing on You, where you get to see, like, you feel like you're being told, you know, Yoon Suri's story in the first episode. And then after the credits of the final scene, then we flash back to when she's hanging in the tree in the remnants of her parachute, of her paraglider. And Captain Reese sees her from a distance and he's cracking up at her, like, you know, kind of like being stuck in the tree and talking to herself and trying to find, you know, connect with somebody on the radio and not knowing where she was. And so then you know immediately that he's attracted to her, where the whole episode he has seemed like he's going to turn her in, he's severely annoyed with her, whatever. And that was something that, you know, we learned going on is kind of a K-drama trope. But in this instance, I thought it was done, not that I haven't liked it before, because I love it. I love this device, this plot device, but I think it was done really well here where we're in, like, from Jian's perspective when she's a baby. When she's 10. She's 10, y'all, when the kid stuff happens.
Ignore me.
From Jian's perspective, you feel like you have enough of the story to move forward. And then I think it just gets richer when we see it from Jinman's perspective, because especially like when you're like, he left a 10-year-old alone after he got the call saying that his brother and sister-in-law were murdered. So it's like, what could be going on that he would leave her alone and be like, don't answer the door for anyone except my friend, and he'll know the secret code and whatever, and to risk that. And so to be able to go back and see all that was happening while she was running from the baddies and like outsmarting them. Yeah,
her
I love
little
it.
Bare feet, like padding.
Her little bare feet. I really like this device, and I think it was done well here. I don't think it was gratuitous. Like, I don't think it was used to fill time to go back and, like, retell the story, because I think we got more story when we saw it from the other perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I don't... forget I'm here.
She did. She did. That's why she just went and talked again.
No, please proceed.
Well, I was. So I was going to say that it is a common device, but for some reason in this drama, it just struck me more. Like it felt more integral to the story, because like sometimes I think like I like the crash landing on you scene, I didn't necessarily like need it in a way. Like,
right,
Yeah, whereas in A Shop for Killers, like you needed that additional perspective pretty much every time. And they even told different people's perspective, because they told Honda's perspective. Poor Honda. We love Honda. Honda was Jiang Jinman's friend, and he was the one who came to help Jian when after her parents were killed and Jinman had to run away. So
he was really cute.
He was adorable.
You missed he got some love in our Patreon live when you had to peace out really quickly last week.
Well, I'm glad, because he was very good. Even in a very short role where he had no dialogue, because he couldn't speak. And so the fact that he was that beloved makes me very happy. Mm-hmm. I will say, too, like, this is off topic of storytelling, but just the, like, varied cast of characters in this, like, I sort of never knew who they were going to introduce and, like, what kind of quirks they would have. They were, like, all so varied. You know what I mean? Anything to add, Leah?
I would just say that when I think about it from like a fiction perspective, this is in no way a comp, but I was going to give Amy a little bone here. Was one of Amy's favorite books that she recommended to me also does like a fun kind of like back and forth. So it's different because it's not like looking at the exact same scene through two different eyes, but I like when you just kind of play with timelines and stuff. And so while it's not at all a great comp, it kind of, I'm just trying to be positive right now. And I'm thinking of on the Jellicoe Road, and how we have kind of like, it's another narrative where the narrative is, yeah, it's not linear, but it serves the story really well. Yeah. And so while it does something kind of different than what happens here, where you get like point A, yeah, you get like the young child's perspective, then his overall perspective, you're kind of dealing in like more
generational,
generational timeline. But it is fun. I like when things do mix up the timelines.
Yeah. I want to reread that book. It's been like a decade since I read it. That's such a good
really
book.
Good.
So there are a lot of characters in this drama, and we as viewers are never quite sure who to trust. So did that like bother you while watching, or do you like that? Like, do you like being like, oh God, I don't know who to trust? Because that makes me giddy.
So I am like the annoying person, the annoying friend, or for my kids, the annoying mom, who loves the device of an unreliable narrator, but who is always trying to figure the story out so I can prove him smart. So no, it doesn't bother me, but it might bother you if you're watching something with me and I'm constantly trying to solve the puzzle. Like, my kids definitely hate it about me, but I can't turn it off. And to the extent where not even just like, you know, who the characters are and are the characters reliable or trustworthy, but because we all know stories so well, I will like note a scene in the beginning of something. I'll be like, well, that's the framework of the story and I know what's going to happen. And I think I brought this up on the pod before with one of our Marvel faves, which was the last Tom Holland Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man No Way Home. Something happened in the very beginning, like in the first 10 minutes. I said, oh, this is what's going to happen in the end. And my daughter was like, fuck you, because I was totally right. And yeah, I love figuring out stories. I do. And I'm not always right. Like, I will be the first to say I'm not always right, but I can't not voice my thoughts. And I did that with you, Megan. Like, I was messaging you and I'd be like, I don't trust this guy.
I know, right?
So I'm not dumb, but I don't know if I love to figure out stories to the extent that Amy does. Like, I was thinking about, like, I just watched Dune 2 this weekend and I loved it. It's like one of my most favorite movies now. But I don't think I was ever like trying to figure it out. You know, like, I wasn't like, what, you know, like, I didn't feel like there was like motivations that were confused to me. I just kind of like to watch good characters put into situations and just kind of like unpack that.
Right.
That's why, like, A Time Called You, like, there's like things like where I'm like, I don't want to be confused. I don't want a puzzle. I want to like just like go deep with characters I like and like watch their stories.
Yeah. I mean, this fits, because like if you look at like your favorite dramas compared to like mine, like that fits. You're like, give me a Mi Sang where I just like, I know a character's motivation and I'm following them through like a journey rather than like.
And they're learning lessons that may be surprising, but I'm not like what's the puzzle that is at the heart of it. Like, I mean, I don't always dislike that, but generally I'm not that. Like, I like Knives Out, and I like not knowing what was happening in Knives Out. So it's not like always the case. And I like the menu and kind of not knowing, you know, so I don't always have to know the exact story, but I just don't think like, I'm not usually trying to like figure out, like, I don't think that at the beginning of the show, I'm like, this happened, so this happened. Like, I'm not looking to like do that probably.
Wait, I'm not looking for it, but if it's there, I'll do it and I'll enjoy it. Like, I don't seek it out. Like, I don't watch dramas or, you know, movies or whatever because of that. But I'm immediately, like, my brain's immediately triggered in a good way when something like that happens. And I'm like, I need to be the one to solve this before the story solves it. Like, I just, that's a very big feeling of satisfaction for me.
Like, I would say if you give me a K-drama blurb and one of the lines are, they don't know who to trust, instant hook. Like a fish hook in my mouth. I'm like, like, pull me out. I'm ready to watch it. Like, that is very much up my alley. And I think it's from like my childhood reading Agatha Christie. Like, I was a massive Agatha. I read every Agatha Christie book when I was a kid. Like, my whole bookshelf was Agatha Christie. And I just feel like K-dramas do that kind of like.
See, I was Sweet Valley High and Babysitter's Club. Just give me those characters and just put them through. Put Elizabeth and Jessica in their perfect size 16s through all the drama.
And I went from like Sweet Valley High to like John Grisham.
Oh, and then I went to VC all the court Enders case because, stuff. Yeah, like if you had thrown in like some, you know, uncle, niece, right. Like, you know, romance in this, like, sure, we would have been in a different conversation.
No. I know. And I'm not trying to say like I'm so highbrow. Well, I don't know if Agatha Christie's highbrow. Like, I'm not. It's just that is what I liked as a kid. And I really think that that's like the holdover. You know what I mean? Like, What's the one where they're on the train or the one where it's like, and then there was none or what is, you know, all of those. Anyway. So I really enjoyed this because I never, especially like this drama has a cold open, and the open is basically like you are, or maybe you call it a hot open, but I mean, you are
in it.
You're in it. You get no lead up. And actually the drama opens so stark into what is happening that I thought I missed an episode. I thought
Me
my
too.
Like,
I did.
Yeah,
too.
I thought. Right? I thought my Hulu like started episode two, because you're literally just, you're thrown all of a sudden into a house that like the windows are blown out. There's clearly been explosions. One woman is bleeding. There's like a young woman, Jian, like crying on the kitchen floor. There's some guy who's like sweaty in the corner. And you're like, who are these people? And what happened? How did we get to this like blown out house, you know what I mean?
And so I think if that unknown delights you, then it's good. For me, I'm like, oh god, I don't know.
Oh, I get it. Okay. See, it delighted me, and so that's actually a good, you know what, yeah, if you like being like thrust into a situation in a drama and like, yeah, you're like figuring it out, because honestly, like, you don't actually know, like, it takes a long time for you to figure out how they got to that point, to be honest.
Yeah, like four episodes, maybe three episodes. Yeah.
And I will say, this is my one like serious annoyance. So there is a character named Bae Jong-min. He's played by Park Ji-bin, which he's great, by the way. Him and his character are great.
He is just, because I had to figure this out. Like, I'm like, where do I know this guy from? He is the little brother in Boys Over Flowers. He's John Dee's little brother in Boys Over Flowers.
He's great. He's adorable. P.S. I did think he was sus from the beginning. I do want to say that. But anyway, that's not why I'm bringing him up. So I'm not.
I did.
I'm reading some. What'd you say?
I didn't in the beginning.
I did. I was like, why does he keep coming around? This little shit. Something's going on. He's being too nice. And he's cleaning the bathroom after her uncle died there. No. Anyway, that's beside the point. So I'm reading subtitles, obviously. And it drove me fucking batty that his name was Jong-min. Bae Jong-min. So we see Jong-min on like the subtitles. But then Lee Dong-wook's character is Jong Jin-man.
And then she's Jian.
Jian. So look, if you're reading that in English, that is so frustrating. There are so many times where I was like, who's talking about, like, are we talking about Jongmin, the, like, kid? Or are we talking about Jongjinmon, like, Edongwook? Like, I was so baffled by that. Like, it, one of my biggest things is if I'm writing a book, okay, I never call the hero and heroine, like, I don't start their first names, or I don't start their names with the first the same first letter. Like, I would never write Jane and Jim, like, as my
editors call me out when I do that, because I will unwittingly do that. And they're like, you've got too many B words, or, you know, C names or whatever, stuff like that.
Yeah. It drives me crazy, because when you're reading, it, like, throws you off. So, and I hesitate a little bit to say this only because it's really only an English language subtitle problem. Okay. So it's not even like I'm mad at anyone. I just need to say that it drove me fucking crazy because I really had a hard time sometimes with all the J names. And then the fact that Jongmin and Jongjinmon, and they use like their full names, you know? So anyway, that's the only thing. It was driving me crazy. I had a hard time with that. So if you haven't watched it and you're listening to me now, just be aware. Okay, so Edongwook is always a treat to talk about, but we need to also shout out the badass women from this drama. Kim Hae-jun as Jian and Geum Hannah as Min-hae. What did you like most about their characters? Were you happy we got Min-hae's backstory?
Look, I always like strong female characters. I don't know why, I just wasn't. They were badass, yes. Mm-hmm. But I guess I didn't really just like feel that much about them.
It's okay.
So, you know, I mean, they were good enough. Like, I mean, yeah, like, they were good enough.
It's okay.
Would you say they're about as forgettable as a middle child?
Yeah, maybe as forgettable as me on apparently a good night. I like the red lipstick.
Oh, Mindy, yeah. She was so cool.
I just think she was like, yeah, she was cool. I guess I'm trying to just figure out, like, to have make it interesting to listen to, what was it that, like, made me just feel slightly disconnected? And I don't have a great answer. I just, you know, what was the show where you're like, I just wasn't feeling it. Like, I wasn't mad at them. I wasn't like, oh, this is bad. I'm, like, annoyed. I would just kind of be like, eh, it was okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
These are the strong women. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're not into what they're doing, which is protecting the compound, then it's going to be hard to connect to them.
Yeah. If you don't like care about that, then it is. And that's okay. Again, that's so I just want to say I really liked Jian. I mean, I liked I'm not saying like I related to her because I did not relate to her, but I really liked her. She didn't feel just like a flat. In Min-hae too, they didn't feel just like flat women who a lot of times, especially if like men write action stuff like this, the women can just be like, oh, they're badass because they can fight. And I didn't feel that way. Kind of with either of them. I thought Jian's like the things she learned from her uncle. Like I like that whole metaphor of they're sitting and they're watching, you know, a lion and hyena fight on TV, and Edongwook tells her, like, you know, the strong don't make a sound. And then so in her mind, they kind of had that like CGI hyena all the time. Mm. And that was like the embodiment of like her fear. And every time she saw it, she was like, I'm not going to make a sound. And I liked that whole metaphor for her. And then about how she in the end got revenge for her parents.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Min-hae. I liked how
me too.
She starts out as like, we don't know her, we don't trust her, we don't know why she's there. You think she's there to kill, you know, to kill Jian, when really it's, you know, it's the guy who's already in the house who wants to kill Jian. And so I liked that. I liked, you know, getting her backstory. But I really did like Jian's character. Like, she starts out as just totally wonderstruck, gobsmacked by what the fuck is going on. Like, somebody is in a, you know, in a van up on a bridge, like shooting at her in the house, and she has no idea why. And she's remembering all these things that her uncle taught her that she had no idea were actually to save her life.
Yeah.
And so, like, this great, like, choreographed scene. But I love, like, everything that she goes through physically in this, like, 24 to 48 hours while trying to grieve her uncle, who she thinks is dead, and then at the end having to make the decision of where her life goes from there, because, you know, he leaves her explicit direction saying, like, look, if you decide to become the owner of the shop for killers, everybody who, you know, is at this, like, you know, color level has vowed to protect you in the shop. Otherwise, there is a tunnel, you know, from the warehouse that you can walk out. At the end of this tunnel is someone who will give you a new identity and take you somewhere to start, you know, to start your life over, and you never have to be this person again. And so I really liked that, you know, she thought she was just this, like, orphan college student who was, you know, going to try and make her way in the world, and finds out that everything that has happened, you know, since she was 10 years old is not what she thinks it is. And now she has to decide, is she going to continue in this life now that she has sort of, like, gone through this, you know, trial by fire kind of thing? I mean, she chopped a man's head off.
Yeah. She went through, like, major trauma.
Yeah. So what do you do now? You know, and this kind of, like, in it, but, like, I don't know. Again, because I'm that annoying person who has to know everything when I'm watching something, I'm like, why does your face look familiar? Where do I know Kim Hae-joon from? Because she is the sister in Rain or Shine. She is the doctor. She is Junho's doctor, Lee Junho's character. Yeah, Gangdu's sister in Rain or Shine, who she had this very, I mean, she was good in Rain or Shine, but it was this very sort of laced up kind of character. Mm-hmm. And I love that she was a total chameleon, and I had no idea what the hell I knew her from. And so, yeah, I really liked her a lot. I liked the character of Jian. I liked the sort of huge sort of, like, mental and physical growth, exertion, whatever you want to call it, that she had to go through in this short amount of time, and now has a decision to make, which we don't know what that decision is because it ends on a freaking cliffy. So, I mean, it ends, but it also
we'll get there.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I and, like, Min-hae better be around for season two. That's all I got to say.
Heck yeah. Okay, we have talked about this, but look, well, Leah might not, but, like, I have a favorite action scene, so why don't we all shout out?
Share yours.
Yeah, I'll go first. I mean...
Me or you, sorry.
No, I'll go first. Okay. I'm always gonna, like, it's just, this is, like, candy to me to watch some of the action scenes like this. Okay, I'm gonna name two, sorry. And I'm there, it's not any that you said, Amy. It's the one where he has this house. Jong Jin-man has this house. Basically, like, booby-trapped. And, like, I love that shit, okay? It felt like Inspector Gadget. It's, like, everywhere in that house is, like, some weapon stash. It's, like, bulletproof. It's so freaking cool. And there's this, like, wall that raises and lowers that, like, separates, like, the back of the house.
It's like the whole house is a panic room.
Yeah, the whole house is a panic room. And I love the scene where there's, like, a whole, like, group of gunmen coming in to take out Jian and Min-hae and you know, some of the other characters. And at one point Min-hae lowers the wall just enough, and there's, like, you know, at that point there was, like, gas to, like, or smoke to obscure vision, and she does this, like, forward leap out and, like, rolls into the room and immediately just starts, like, taking people out with, like, her legs around their it was so freaking cool. But my absolute favorite was when Jin-man is on the way to his mom's funeral. And this is when he, like, knows shit's bad. Like, he knows the enemy's back. He knows his brother and his sister are in trouble, which they are. They're, like, already dead. But he doesn't know that yet. And he's in his car, and he gets stopped in, like, a tunnel. And a truck pulls up behind him, and, like, a million gunmen get out and just, like, light up his car. Okay? And it's, like, it's very classic scene. Like, you know, the gunfire finally stops, and they're like, maybe, you know, did we get him? And then the back hatch of the car, like, slowly opens, and there's fucking Lee Dong-wook with a machine gun. I know, it sounds crazy now that I'm saying it out loud, right? But he's got, like, a machine gun, and he just, like, takes care of all of them. And it's so cool when that hatch goes up, and it's just Lee Dong-wook, like, his, like, you know, his, I don't know, eye in the scope. And you just know he's about to, you know, just take people out. And I love it. I loved it so much.
You know, what I loved about that scene is when you see it the first time, you just know that, like, they hit his car and, like, he's stuck. Then it leaves that scene for a while.
Yeah, you don't know what happens for, like, three episodes.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, where was he this whole time? Like, he looks like he's knocked out cold, like, in the car.
Yeah, and you know he survived that. You
right,
know that.
Right, because yeah. that was 10 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
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 So that was awesome. So my favorite scene, it's actually a Min-hae scene, and it's the scene where all of the baddies have, like, made it into the warehouse, and she sneaks in there, and I think she cuts the lights, right? And she's got, like, night vision goggles on, mm-hmm. and she has, I think, a knife, and that's it, and everybody else in there has guns, and she, like, takes them all out with, like, her acrobatics and everything like that. And to me, it reminded me of, all the action stuff that I watch at home, like anything that has, like, big violence that I watch with my son, right? So we watch all the John Wicks together and stuff like that. And we just recently watched season 2 of Reacher on Prime. Freaking love the show Reacher. And for some reason, I don't know why, like, it just fit both stories. It's not the same warehouse, but the big end, like, fight scenes in both seasons of Reacher take place in a warehouse where he is, like, the only one left on his team. And he's just taken out every single, like, he's battered and bloodied and he takes out everybody.
Yeah.
And I love that they gave that scene to a woman in this. I thought it was awesome.
I agree.
And I've never seen Reacher, nor will I. Although I did watch Arrow with Amy, but that's different.
Right. I thought you did.
Yeah, but that feels different.
It's a CW action.
Yeah, it's CW. CW, like, there's, like, rich romance happening on the side. I was there for Team Felicity.
right.
I mean, so. there's some sexy times in Reacher, and the guy who plays Reacher, Alan Ritchson, is, like, ginormous, which is not usually my type, but, like, it's all personality. Yeah.
I thought that was Jonathan Krasinski. Which one is that?
No, John Krasinski is not Reacher. John Krasinski.
That's Jack Ryan.
It's Jack Ryan.
See, it all just runs together for me.
I know.
Jack Ryan, name, Reacher. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Moving on.
I watch them both. Yeah.
So I, Megan, before we get to the ending, want to posit that there is a love triangle, or more like a love, like, train in this drama. Do you agree?
Well, nobody loves the same person.
Nobody loves the same. That's why it's like a train. There's like a caboose, like, and
there's
an engine.
There's no requited love. There's no requited love.
There should have just been a G-mon, G-on love story. I'm saying it. That's all I wanted.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gross. No. We're not adding incest to this. You wonder why we ignore you.
This is why you're the middle child, Leah.
I think
and then we find out it's like an uncle by, yeah, you know, it didn't have to be straight. Could have been like an uncle by proxy.
I really hope that they're not introducing this just to ignore it if we get a season 2. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
You know, because we
clearly, what's it? Passan, he's like the guy who he's like friends with Jinmon. He was a mercenary with them and he taught both of the women how to fight. He clearly loves Min-hae because he was like pretty docile a little bit, despite his, like, skills, until they hurt Min-hae, and then he went apeshit. And then we know Min-hae loves Jinmon, which who wouldn't? I mean,
right?
Hello, yeah.
It could also be like a kind of protector kind of crush that she has on him.
I think she, yeah, I think, you know, it is. But she loves him. Maybe it's not a romantic love, but she loves him. Okay, and I guess let's talk about the ending. Season 2 has not been announced. There is no word about it. But what do we think about the ending? Do we need a season 2? And, look, are we seeing a trend with the open-ended dramas? Because I feel like we've gotten a few recently.
On Netflix, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a Netflix thing.
And this was Prime, right?
Oh, sorry. Oh,
this Hulu.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even keep track because they're all the stations right now.
Yeah, I think that's why I was annoyed. Because I also had to, like, go dig out Hulu again and be like...
Okay, so here's an example of me being the annoying person with, like, story structure, right? Mm-hmm. So in my I'm a writer and I need to figure this all out, I messaged Megan about halfway through the drama after we got the flashback where Jinmon took Jian to the woods and pretended to be injured so she had to figure out how to get them rescued. And I said, this is foreshadowing. He's not really dead. He's just making her decide who she wants to be. Is she going to be the shop owner or is she going to, you know, walk out the secret exit, get a new identity and start a new life? So when he showed up at the end, I was not surprised. But I also don't think the story is wrapped up. Like, where is Bail? Mm-hmm. Where was Jin Man the whole time? Why did everyone take Bail's side over Jin Man's? How are they safe if Bail is still out there? Is Min Hae okay? Does she love Pasen now?
Like, does she love Pasen now? Yeah.
Like,
I'm just so amazed how invested you all were. I just finished and was like, all right.
Don't shame us for liking it just because you did it.
I'm not shaming it. I'm just saying I am. I'm just giving a genuine, not like a shady. Like, I finished and was just like, okay, clickbaity ending. Here we go.
I wasn't surprised about him being alive.
Me either.
Like, I think that was very well foreshadowed. But I feel like there's a huge hunk still missing. Like, the main villain who everybody's like following the orders of Bail and like, you know, going to kill, you know, Jin Man and Jian, like, he just disappears like after five episodes, mm-hmm. five or six episodes. Like, yeah, where is he in the end?
That's the biggest reason I think it's going to continue.
Yeah.
Because if he'd come back, it would have been like maybe the quirky foreshadow, but it's the fact that there's like this huge.
It's a hole. It's a huge hole. We don't know if Min Hae's dead. Like, she was out, you know, she was bleeding out in what.
She's not dead.
No, I know she's not, but I'm just saying, like, there's nothing is resolved other than the fact that Jian is alive and so is Jin Man. Mm-hmm.
I do want to say I didn't put that together, Amy, about how he just wants her to decide who she is. I didn't put that together. That's smart.
Well, you can't really force that life on someone.
No.
But that's quite a way to make her think about it.
I mean, Jesus. But
if you're also going to booby trap your entire house and just live that way, you probably like to, you know, take the complicated route and everything.
Yeah. So I do think I do think he was obviously off doing something, clearly.
Right, because he was like beat to shit when he got back.
Yeah, so I wonder if he was taking care of Bail. But like, we don't know that. That's a total theory with no, like, he was off dealing with Bail while she was fighting.
And she
all
went,
the rest.
ID'd him in the morgue.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I know,
was
who
that?
Was that?
And she stuck her hand in his neck hole.
Yeah, like, who was that? Who had the tattoo that was Myrrh the Help? Which, what does Myrrh the Help mean? Do you know?
I don't know.
So, yeah, there's a look. It's not done. And if you're going to tell me, like,
oh, my God, he did a face off. What we're going to have is a freaking face off.
Like, so you're thinking that wasn't him, whereas I'm thinking he, like, did something to, like, slow down his heart and, like, fake being dead.
No, I think it's a face off.
Oh, no, I think it's like a fake body.
I didn't even think
somehow.
Of that.
Yeah, because I think you'll see that you'll see that tattoo later. And
it's like a Stranger Things situation, like where they just made a Jin Man. He's just stuffed with like pillow stuffing,
or they just took somebody's face and I don't know.
They like did like plastic surgery on some guy to make him look
post-mortem
like Jin Man.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah, they went to a shop for killer plastics, like, you know, like a shop for killers plastic surgery down the road.
But like,
from
he would have had to produce this body super fast.
Well, it's like, yeah, because he's got contingency plans for contingency plans. So
right,
he's
so like, where was he hiding this like fake body?
It doesn't. No,
but then
I don't
also
think it's
doesn't
fake...
Jong doesn't like Jong Min found him dead in the bathtub.
I don't
like,
think it's
minutes like, after he was supposed.
Here's
to
the thing: I don't think he's a. It's not a fake body. It's in the morgue. So if you need a body and you need a body fast, where are you going to find a body? Maybe the morgue. I don't.
It looks exactly like the person.
No, because you've got to do a face off.
But Mirth Help was like that was a clue.
Yeah, I don't know, Amy. I just know that he had like a 3D printer in his pocket and he made his face and he stuck it on someone else. I don't know why.
So help me if like they peel like Mission Impossible mask. I know. If they peel a Mission Impossible mask off of somebody in the morgue, I'm going to lose it.
That's going to be what it is. And then that's going to be Bail. That's what it's going to be.
I mean, I don't know. All I'm saying is you
but like,
get,
yeah, he like, walked into the bathroom. He walked
yeah,
into the bathroom.
And then Jong Min found him like 5 minutes later. So like where, what? I don't know, man. I don't know. I need to know. And so like, don't leave us hanging. I like, come on. Don't make a drama like this and then be like, well, I don't know if there's season two. Like, stop doing that. You got to stop doing that. People, Korea, whatever. You got to.
Don't. We came to K-dramas because you don't do this.
Yeah. Hello. You're missing like literally the whole point of what you've been doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know,
or make it a full 16 episode season.
Yeah, don't.
Oh
fuck
God,
with
please
us.
Don't. Actually, God, no. That was like the best part of it. I was like, thank God we're at 8.
Megan and I will do season 2 alone.
I mean, I was halfway through 8. And again, it's like story structure. I'm like, this isn't finishing. There's no way.
No.
Like I knew right away, but then I started to get mad. But at least I like knew. At least I had a little bit of time while I'm watching episode 8 to come. But I feel like there were some people who literally they were hit with the end and they were like, what the fuck? So I don't know. I don't know what Jinmon was doing, but he was off doing something, getting beaten. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was kidnapped. So what is going on?
No, because how can he be kidnapped and fake his own death?
Yeah. So
there was some big planning going on here.
Yeah. Okay. And anything else to add?
I just want to give a shout out to Brother. We didn't talk about Brother.
Oh, I love Brother. Like, Brother was so great.
Yeah. Love for Brother.
Yeah.
I want to give a love shout out to Family Photos, because that family photo really, I just felt like was like, am I alone in this? This was like a pivotal part. The family photo.
Yeah.
Just shouting out the family photo.
Oh, okay.
Look, I'm looking. I'm trying to find something to be positive.
You're like, I just really like that they posed for a photo. Way to go.
I mean, they brought it back time and time again. I don't know.
Way to go, life portraits or whatever. Shout out to that blue
background. Shout out to Life Touch.
Shout out to Life Touch. Shout out to the hyena.
Shout out to JCPenney's for the family portraits.
Yep.
Shout out to Honda's hand.
And the bracelet. I was also like, this just feels like a bad deal that like you're in the shop for killers, like whatever. And like, you don't know this little girl and your whole thing now is that she's to be protected at all costs. I'd be like, I have questions. Like, she doesn't even know she's in the, like, I don't know. I was just like, I have questions on blind loyalty.
Yeah. God, the little girl actress was really good. Shout out to her.
Also the bullying. Like, are the bullies really like, your parents killed themselves and died? That's hilarious. We're going to, I'm like, I don't feel like that's like,
now we're going to lock you in a room.
I feel people don't know like how kids behave. I'm like, I don't think that's like the joy of kid bullying.
I don't know because like bullying is such a trope in these dramas. I feel like it's got to be, but like I get that bullying happens. Like I'm not denying that it happens, but like you're saying, Leah, do people really bully for things so way out of your control? Like
why are we bullying?
Like the way your parents died,
your dad murdered your mom and then killed himself, or who knows? Like it was something.
And
like
now
that.
Now you have selective mutism. Ha ha.
My friend said her daughter was like bullied because she had a fake Stanley. That's what I expect
Correct.
That people, not that should be done. I'm just saying like that's the type of bullying that like I think of when I think of bullying. I don't think of like, oh my God, your parents are dead. It's weird.
Yeah. So I just, that to me just felt a little over the top. Like that's.
Oh, totally.
But I mean, like, again, am I just picking at hairs? Yeah.
But also, like, shout out to Park Ji Bin for being able to play boy next door turns complete psychopath.
Oh, he was great. True.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
I loved him. I started to get suspicious of him, like when he went into the basement, into the warehouse, and was like grinning from ear to ear when he saw everything. I'm like, he should not be so excited to see all this. But then when we see his backstory and like his roommate does the hacking for the baddies and then gets like shot in the head, and he's like, all right, you better clean that up. Like, I'm like, oh, so you have zero emotions or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. His backstory I thought was really cool too. Mm. He's like, I'll do what I can to stay alive. But anyway, well, we were a little divided on this, but I still thought this was a really fun discussion though. And I hope people liked it.
I think people, again, if you like Jack Ryan Reacher and John Wick, you're going to like A Shop for Killers.
This is for you. Yeah.
I really do like Jack Ryan Reacher and John Wick.
and I don't judge that. I just feel like it's just like not my thing. And someday we'll watch a drama that's my thing. And you won't like it.
Someday.
and you won't like it. And then what you'll do is shit on it. And then we're going to have angry comments like my mister, where everyone's like, God damn you guys for hating my mister. And I keep being like, didn't I like it? I'm so confused.
You're right. Everyone acted like you were invisible.
Yes. Oh my God, they did. It was like I didn't exist.
Guys, stop erasing Leah.
I'm going to get a real complex now.
Yeah, stop it. Yeah.
Okay. Like, what is the word? Like, I'm the Sunbae. Megan's the Maknae. Like, what is Leah? We need to figure out who you are.
She's the trainee that's been around for 7 years and she's under.
She's intern of Moogie.
Screw you guys. All right. Oh, on that note.
Till next time.
Just have two on Youngs. No one will notice.
Annyeong.
Annyeong.
Gamsahamnida. Thank you for listening to Afternoona Delight. Where can you find us outside the pod? Head on over to afternoonadelight.com. That's AFTERNOONADELIGHT.com. You'll find links to all our social media, our book recs, K-pop and K-skincare recs, and if you want even more Afternoona Delight, because really who doesn't, you can join our Patreon, where you can choose the patron level that's right for you. Join in daily K-drama conversations, listen to bonus podcast episodes just for patrons, and participate in our monthly live K-drama support group via Zoom. We can't wait for you to be a part of the community. Until next time, 안녕!